So I just finished chatting with my brother on Instagram. I talk to my brother every day. We talk about business ventures, talk about investing, talk about making our lives better, we talk about not working for other people. My brother currently still works for other people, but that won't be for long. You know, he's got one foot out the door, if not more. So pretty soon he'll be on my podcast talking about his journey of getting out of the 9-to-5 world just the same. But in this discussion, well, we have debates. You know, we don't argue. You know, we just have difference of opinions all the time. But, you know, I love my brother to death. He loves me just the same. But we talk about it. And one thing that we tend to butt heads a little bit on is our approach in business. My brother's new to the business world, you know, not completely blind, not a complete rookie, but he's fairly new to it. I've been doing this for many years, had my trials and tribulations, my ups and downs. You know, I got stories to tell. My whole podcast is about stories to tell that I've had during my business. Oh my God. Oh man. Sorry about sneezing into the mic, man. I was trying to save this piece so I could edit it out, but I'm sorry. I apologize, but the sneeze just had to come. But anyway, you know, me and my brother, we have different approaches to business. And my approach is from my experience. And all my experiences aren't bad, but I've had some bad experiences. And I think I mentioned them again. You know, I talk about a lot of stuff in other episodes of podcasts. And I talk about, you know, the loss, the failure. It's not a failure or a loss unless you quit. But if you take a lesson from it, you know, that quote unquote failure can become a lesson. And the way I take my lessons is I look at it like this. Like when creating business ventures, all we think about for the most part, you know, I mean, we don't go into it blindly, at least I hope we don't. But what we tend to think about is the win. And what I mean is you create a business idea. You come up with a business idea in your mind and you're like, man, this is going to be awesome. You know, this is going to be good. We're going to do this, that, and the other. We're going to make this many sales, generate that much money because my idea is so dope. Nobody in the world has this particular idea and it's just going to take off. Me and my brother are notorious for doing something like that. And what I mean by that is he'll come to me with an idea that is super dope. And I'm like, oh man, I've never heard of that before. We got to get on this. Let's get the patent working. Let's start working on the patent, the domain name, you know, whatever we have to do, start building a website, whatever, so we can get this out there, launch it, man, mess around and take it to Shark Tank, sell it, whatever, you know, just to make some money really quick, right? And then we'll get on the internet just to do some research to see if the product's out there or not. And lo and behold, that product is everywhere. We just may not have heard of it, or we may have heard of it subliminally, not realizing that, thinking that we came up with it in a dream, only to realize that it's been out there for the world to see. You know, I mean, we're all connected in this universe, this multiverse or whatever. So, you know, I mean, that's more than 6 degrees of separation, but our energy is flowing between us. You know, we're all family. We're all one and the same, I suppose, right? I mean, I recently came up with an idea that I thought was golden, and I came up with this idea in my sleep, and I literally woke up mid-sleep with a smile on my face because I thought this idea was golden. Now, I'm not going to say it right now because we're still doing some research on it just to be sure, but I didn't say anything to him about it, and I made sure when we did talk about it, I actually had my phone off because, you know, the phones be listening to us and stuff like that. You know how that goes. So we made sure we talked about it with the phones off. I even whispered it to him, you know, just to make sure it wasn't any devices nearby to hear my idea. But I swore my idea was the absolute best idea on earth and that nobody had it just yet. And once we created this, patented it, and got a couple of NDAs created and took it to Shark Tank or any other business mogul that we knew, we could sell it and get residual paychecks for the rest of our lives. Generational wealth. That's how dope I thought it was. Well, of course, my brother gets on the internet, looks it up, and it wasn't exactly like my product, but it was close enough to where my $1 million, $1 billion dream was cut in half, if not more than that, instantly. So I say that to say, when I come up with a business venture, or when my brother comes up with a business venture or business idea, I always go towards the cons, the fails, what can go wrong. Why? Again, because we always think about what can go right. What can go right? The win. The win is easy. It's easy. That's why we have the idea. That's why we're excited about it, because we know our idea is going to blow up. I mean, who comes up with an idea that they're unsure about? Who's enthusiastic about an idea they're unsure about? No, we're excited about our ideas, as we should be. There are ideas. We don't think anybody else has them. And for the foreseeable future, we don't see anything that can go wrong. But again, because of the business experiences that I've had, when things can go wrong, you know, it can break you. You know, example I gave my brother, you know, you could be in like a dune buggy or something, and you're going up the top of this mountain, and this mountain is hard as hell to climb, but you're burning, you're pushing through the sand, and you're climbing up the mountain, and you're almost at the pinnacle. You're almost at the top where you can actually coast and rest. And right when you get up to the top, blink, monkey wrench right in your gearbox. Anybody knows anything about cars and gears and transmissions, you put a monkey wrench in the gearbox, it's a wrap. Everything is gone. Your whole project fails, and now you're sliding back down the mountain backwards, and you don't know what to do to stop you from that backwards downhill skid. So what I do, because of my business ventures that I've had that actually failed, I think about everything that can go wrong. And that's what I'm saying this to say, that's what I want you to do. And it's not to scare you, but it's to prepare you. And I'm not trying to, you know, make a rhyme like Jesse Jackson or anything like that. You know, I'm just saying that truthfully. I'm saying this to prepare you, because again, the win is easy. If you just did, if everybody who came up with a business idea only won, everybody would be rich. Everybody would have an idea, and we'd be continually flooding the market with different ideas that would never fail. But what about when the time comes when something does go wrong? So what I tend to do is, when I come up with a business idea, or my brother comes up with a business idea, and I'm sure he hates it, but again, I'm doing it to prepare him, to prepare us, you know, because he brings a business idea to me so we can kind of work together. You know, my last podcast episode, I talked about my brother talking about working together with family. I work with my brother. I have no issue working with my brother, but I'm always going to approach every idea initially with the cons, what can go wrong. So take, for example, we come up with an idea, just say a donut shop. We got a donut shop. My brother or me, we want to create some donuts, and our donuts are going to be so epic. That's the win. Our donuts are going to be so epic because we're going to fry them twice, or boil, whatever you do to make donuts, bake them, boil them, fry them. And before they finish drying out the hot grease, we're going to put nutmeg on them or something. And that's going to make them better than everybody, because nobody in the world has nutmeg on their donuts. That's just a rough, random example. Of course, people may put nutmeg on their donuts. I don't know anything about donuts, but I'm just saying, right? So just say that's our idea, that we want to put nutmeg on our donuts, and it's going to make them more epic than any other donut on the planet. That's the win. Okay, yeah, we're going to be successful because nobody's doing it but us. Hop on Google. It might be somebody doing it, might not. But what if nobody else is doing it, but still there's a possibility of something that can go wrong? So what I like to do is I like to create a list of maybe just say 5 things that could go wrong. Try to think of at least 5 things, if not more, that could go wrong with your business. So just say the majority of people, number one, negative, the majority of people are allergic to nutmeg. That's one. Or the majority of people don't like nutmeg on your donuts. That's two. Or nutmeg makes your donuts actually dry. That's three. You know, for example, just say those 3 things. So what I like to do is think of a workabout. What can we do to possibly get around that if we were to create this donut that we use nutmeg on? What could be a workaround? You know, okay, people don't like nutmeg on their donuts. Well, we can't necessarily sell these famous donuts with people knowing that they have nutmeg on them, because that takes away from the fact that they're nutmeg donuts. So maybe there's a nutmeg alternative, something that tastes like nutmeg, but it's not nutmeg, so you're not going to have an allergic reaction to it. I don't know if that'll necessarily work, but you know, I'm just freestyling this off the top of my head, just as an alternative, as an option in case something goes wrong. Here's another example. You know, I mean, you could speculate with me about all the ups and downs that could happen with the nutmeg donut. People don't like that much nutmeg. You know, we can offer nutmeg light donut or something like that, right? And here's another example. I remember back in the day when I was in high school, way back many, many, many years ago, the Golden Bird chicken restaurant, they used to have these fries, man. They were shoestring French fries, but they used to put like seasoned salt or sugar and seasoned salt and sugar or something on their fries. And man, those fries were epic. Oh my God. Those fries were epic. To me, those fries were better than the chicken itself. The chicken was decent, but there was a Golden Bird directly across the street from my high school. We used to leave school for lunch as many times as we could. If we had money in our pocket, hop the fence, do whatever we had to do to get across the street to go get some Golden Bird fries. I mean, epic, epic fries to me. To a lot of other students, a lot of other people, they were epic. But there was such a large group of people that did not like those fries with the seasoning and whatever they put on them that Golden Bird ultimately stopped making their fries like that. You know, so if you based your business on, yeah, we have good chicken, we have good biscuits, but our fries, you must come to our restaurant to check out our fries, and those fries make you rich, make you billionaires, but then all of a sudden the masses don't like those fries, and now you have to change your fry recipe. And now that you've changed your fry recipe, you're no longer a billion-dollar business because they're not as good as they once were. What do you do? That's the con. That's the con. That's the con that I'm always trying to prepare for. That's the con that I'm always scared of because, again, the win sells itself. You don't have to convince anybody of a win when you're winning, right? People like to follow winners. They don't look for the winner to fail. I mean, unless you're just a hater, you know, you just want to see somebody fail. But ultimately, the reason why the winners are famous and they have a large fan base is because people like to see people win. Because the win is easy. The win is good. The win makes you feel good. But how often do people root for the underdog? I mean, unless you know them, unless they have a good story or something, or like me, you blindly bet on the underdog, hoping that they get that ultimate win and you just cash out, which rarely happens. But still, you know, but everybody goes for the winner, because it's easy. It's what the masses do. It's what the masses want. It's what we are in business for. We're in business to win. We didn't take a chance on leaving our 9-to-5s or leave our 9-to-5s or put in this much work after our 9-to-5s just to fail. We did this to win because that's what we want to do. That's what we're here for, winning, right? So if you don't think about the cons, if you don't think about the failures to prepare you, that win might slow down. If that win slows up, slows down, and you're no longer climbing that mountain, what do you do? Or how about this? What if you've thought about the cons and everything that could possibly go wrong? And you already got the wins lined up because you know your business is going to be epic and it's doing good for years. You know, if you follow stock charts, everything goes up and down, no matter what it is, no matter what stock it is. Even Tesla stock goes up and down. Apple stock goes up and down. Microsoft up and down. Bitcoin up and down. Dogecoin up and down. Right. And I say that to say that nothing rises forever. Right. So if nothing rises forever, and you've already ironed out your cons and your business is going good, what about when it reaches its peak? When you reach the peak of any mountain, the only thing that's on the other side of that peak is the downhill slalom. You're going down once you get to that peak. So what if you've maximized your business? How do you continue to stay in business? How do you continue to stay relevant? You know, equate that to like a rapper. You know, that's not a one hit wonder, but what about a rapper that's had a lot of good success and then they just start falling off? How do you bounce back? Even Eminem mentioned that in one of his records. I forget the song. maybe it was that Without Me song or something. I don't know. It was one of his songs where he was like, I mean, basically in a nutshell, it's like, how do I follow up on this? You know, I made this dope album. I got these dope songs. Everybody loves me, but I'm stressed out because how do I follow up? How do I follow up? Those are the cons that people don't think about, you know, like my brother, he wants to, you know, get into Airbnb eventually, which is great. I think it's great. But of course, my mind, skeptical mind, I always go towards the cons. I talked to my neighbor, their daughter graduated high school. Had to throw a round of applause in there for my neighbor. Her daughter graduated high school, and for high school, she wanted an Airbnb. The guy that ran the Airbnb that they talked to, he had a list of like, oh, you can't do this. You can't have this many people. You can't do this. And if you book this many people and other people show up, I'm going to charge you more. I'm watching you, this, that, and the other. And the reason why the owner of that Airbnb got that way is because when he first got into doing Airbnb, could be his fault. He went into it thinking about the win. Oh man, Airbnb, I could just rent out my apartment. That it's like my vacation home that I'm only there during the summer months or something like that, or whatever time he's there. The rest of the year, it's just vacant. So he's like, I could just Airbnb this thing out and make some extra cash during the off season for myself. But I don't think he necessarily took into consideration the cons. And the cons were people partying like crazy. More people showed up than initially booked. Holes in the wall, kicking in his drywall, TVs being knocked off the wall, stuff like that, right? Furniture being stolen, you know, maybe a little vase here, a cup or something like that being stolen, stuff like that. Those are the things that I discuss with my brother. And please, please don't mistake me by saying this, that thinking that my brother's an idiot or something, because he's not even remotely. But he gets so enthusiastic about business ventures that it makes me think that he's overlooking the cons, which he's not. He's not. I know he's not, but I can't help myself because of the business experiences that I've had. I had a business, you know, I'm 46. I started my first real business venture anywhere between 28 and 30, somewhere around there. I had a business. It was a club promotion business, and it was called Fast Life Online. We tried to use the name Fast Life, but it was already taken. But we came up with Fast Life Online. I had a team, and it was good. It started off good. I had this one guy, and he was the brains of the team, and he would come up with the best ideas on the planet. I mean, this dude's ideas were legendary. You know, his ideas were so good. He could sell, you know, water to a whale, water to a fish. You know what I mean? It was that good. It sold itself. Any idea he'd come up with, it's like, dude, how could you say no? It was just that good. Just that good. And then I had another business partner who had some business savvy, some, business classes that he had taken. But the problem with him was he was too literal, too by the book. The book says we should do this, and the book says we should do that. That's cool, but that's not real world experience. We need real world hands-on experience. And me, I was, take a wild guess, the mouthpiece, right? I was the mouthpiece. I'm the one that was sitting there talking to all these club owners trying to promote. I mean, don't get me wrong. My business partners came with me and they would talk with me, but I did all the selling of us. My one business partner, the brains of the operation, he did the online work and the business ideas, and he got our foot in the door with these businesses to meet with these businesses, which was great. I talked to the businesses and made the sales, which was great. That helped keep us alive for whatever short time that we were alive. What I wanted from, what I expected from my other partner, the one that had the business savvy, was to prepare us for what could go wrong. Not sit back and wait for stuff to go wrong, but have solutions ready for us. So when something went wrong, we're like, okay, cool. It's like dodging a punch. You know, you watch Floyd Mayweather fight or Muhammad Ali fight. or Mike Tyson fight, when a punch is coming, they're already ducking and dodging and bobbing and weaving before the punch even gets close to their face because they saw it coming a mile away. That's what I needed from my business partner with the business savvy, with the school smarts to do. But he didn't do that. He didn't prepare us for that. So we didn't take into consideration the cons. We didn't take into consideration that if we tried to promote a club and it didn't go as good as we thought it would go, or as good as we sold it to the club owners that it would go, how are we going to sit there and have them reinvest in our company for us to promote them even further if we're not doing our part? We didn't take that into consideration. You know, we didn't take those things that can go wrong into consideration. So after promoting 3 or 4 different clubs and realizing that we weren't on our horse as much as we thought we were, and prepared ourselves for what can go wrong so we could go back into the lab, erase the blueprints, and start all the way over again. Instead of preparing ourselves for that, we just kept winging it, you know, going at it like not thinking about what can go wrong if we did it this way or this other type of approach. We stayed with the same approach and we kept ignoring the cons. We kept ignoring the cons. And sadly, I want to say within 8 months, maybe a year. Maybe a year, we were completely bankrupt, completely broken, company dissolved. We were done. Now, that is due to inexperience, but still, we never took into consideration the cons. We never took into consideration what we'd have to do if things would go wrong. And that's where my mind is. It's hard for me to just go straight to the wins because, again, the win sells itself. I'm not going to come up with a business venture and just sit back and say, yeah, I came up with this idea, but it's going to fail. You know what I'm saying? Who does that? Nobody does that, right? You come up with an idea and you think it's going to win. Everybody who's ever had a business idea that they were passionate about always thought it was going to win. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to feel about your business ventures. It's going to win. This is it. I'm going to quit my job with this business venture. Or if I've already quit my job and I'm working for myself, this is going to give me that nest egg, that breathing room to where I'm not sitting here struggling, working 16, 17 hours a day into the wee hours of the night just to stay afloat. This business idea is going to take off. We always think about that. That's what we want. That's why we come up with the business ideas in the first place. That's why we launch it. That's why we buy the domain names. That's why we buy the websites. That's why we get the websites built. That's why we make business cards, because we believe in our business venture. But again, if you don't prepare for what can go wrong, as soon as you come across some small form of adversity, boom. Business is gone. You failed. You're back to the drawing board and you don't know what to do because you're shell shocked because you just lost your business. Grand opening, grand closing within a week. You know, that is not a good feeling. That is not a good feeling. And I think one of the reasons why I always have this discussion with my brother is because I'm maybe trying to protect him from not experiencing those cons, you know? I mean, of course, you're going to have to. He's going to have to experience the cons because that's how he's going to learn and get better and grow in business. I mean, hell, that's how I got better and learned and grew in business. And I'm no business mogul. I'm no expert. I still learn every day. I still have to study. I still have to watch myself. I still have to prepare myself when things are low, you know? I mean, I could put out a podcast episode. I can put out one episode and it just takes off. Put out another episode the following week and it's just sitting there and all you hear is crickets. You know, okay, back to the drawing board. But because I've experienced enough ups and downs in my business life, I know how to deal with that. So, yeah, maybe, you know, I always think about the cons because I try to protect my brother from going through it because the cons suck. To be honest, you know, yeah, you want to prepare yourself for it and be ready just in case it comes, you know, just like I reference boxers and stuff, you know, who wants to be swung on? But if you get swung on, you want to be alert to where when somebody does swing on you, you can bob and weave and move your head out the way so you don't get knocked out. Right. So let me go ahead and close this episode. I'll close it with not necessarily a tip this time, but just the truth. The truth is, even if you don't take my approach, always consider the cons, you know? I'm not bringing up the cons to discourage you, not to depress you, not to take away your energy that you have going into your business idea, but it's to make sure you can maintain that energy. Because again, we think about the wins, and the wins are nothing but that, right? They're wins. We're going to win. Of course we're going to win. We're going to be millionaires. We're going to quit our jobs, or we're not going to have to do anything anymore. We're going to be living off of residual income, passive income for the rest of our lives. We'll be making money in our sleep. That's the win. But it sucks to be that enthusiastic about your idea to go into it, and then you face a little bit of adversity, and then all of a sudden you're just discouraged and your business is gone, and you're just moping around and contemplating going back to that 9-to-5, or thinking that you'll never get out of that 9-to-5 because the business that you thought was going to ultimately win didn't. Or it might have hit a speed bump. Speed bump doesn't mean you failed. Speed bump is not a con. But you got to prepare yourself for that speed bump. You know, get some better shock, get some better suspension or something to help you absorb that speed bump. So when you hit it, you don't flatline, you don't bottom out and tear the bottom of your car out, tear your guts out, and then you're sitting there sidelined and you can't move. No, just prepare yourself. If you don't take my approach might seem negative to some, I don't know, but it's kept me alive thus far. You know what I mean? It works for me. It may not work for you, but if it does, you know, my approach is look at everything that can go wrong. Everything. Think about it. I mean, literally write a list. Even if you can't come up with a list immediately, take a couple of days. Write that list of everything that can go wrong. So when you finally launch your business and you're into that business mode and you're flowing, you're clicking on all cylinders, everything's working like it should, when that possible, probable, inevitable con goes wrong, when that monkey wrench comes flying, you can snatch it up before it lands in your gearbox and tears all the teeth out of your gears so you can keep rolling, keep moving forward. Think about the cons. So when they come, you know. Think about it like this. Here it is. Here's a little short. I'll close out with this. I'll finally end it with this. When we were younger, kids, like younger than 10, kids, when we were younger, most of us, if not all of us, got spankings at one point in our lifetime, right? You know, you got spanking with a belt, got spanking with a broomstick, got spankings with, I don't know, switches off the tree, you know, whatever it took to get us in line, right? But you got spankings, but here we are today, we still survived those spankings, right? Because we built up a tolerance for it. We built up a pain tolerance, and we can deal with it. I have a high tolerance for pain. You know, I used to get spankings with the belt, and it got to the point where the belt didn't hurt anymore, and my mom had to step her game up. Unfortunately for me, you know what I mean? Unfortunately for me, mom had to step her game up and find something more powerful to keep me in line. But, you know, that's just part of growing up. At least in my household, it was. But anyway, we built up a tolerance for the spankings that we used to get. If we got hit with the belt, if at some point the belt stopped hurting, you know, and then more pain came, you know, maybe get hit with a broomstick or something, you know, but then eventually the broomstick stopped hurting. The switch stopped hurting. I'm saying that to say, if you prepare yourself for all these cons, the things that could go wrong, when they go wrong, if you're ill-prepared, the first time you got hit with a belt, you screamed your ears off. You know, you screamed your eyes out. You screamed yourself until you were hoarse. You know, you were crying to the point where you almost threw up. You know, you're just sitting there freaking out because you could not understand this pain that you were going through. But if you got spanked by that same belt again with the same amount of force or whatever, eventually you're like, okay, this hurts, but I'm all right. And then over time, get spanked again. It's like, all right, you're wasting your energy because this don't hurt at all. Not even a little bit. It don't hurt no more. That's the preparation that I like. That's the preparation approach that I like to look at when I'm thinking about business ventures. You know, what can go wrong? Oh, man. Oh, man, I was selling these donuts and, I overfried them and my whole batch went sour and they're all burnt and crusty and nobody likes them. Okay, that hurt. Well, I'm not going to do that again. Change the plan, change the profile, change the style, change the time that you cook the donuts or whatever. Next batch comes out that much better. But I'm able to deal with the pain because I prepared myself. You know, it's like when somebody's about to, when you're about to get that spanking, you knew the belt was coming, you tighten up a little bit, right? Boom, you get hit with the belt. Yeah, it hurts a little bit, but I could deal with this. Same thing with business. Something's going to go wrong. You already wrote your list of everything that could possibly go wrong. Here it comes. Because you saw it coming, because you were prepared for it, it hurts, but not that bad. Hope you got my analogy. Hope it makes sense to you guys. Hopefully it encourages you to write a list of everything that can go wrong in whatever business venture you're looking to try. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or or brand new at this, I'm sure writing a list of things that can go wrong can be helpful to you to prepare you if and when those bad things do happen in your business venture. Anyway, this is Ahmed. I'm Creative Roberson. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this episode really touched base with you guys, and I will see you guys next. Well, I will talk to you guys next week, and I'm out.